This song, 403, is one of my favorite song.
Este es mi himno favorito.
Can you hear me? Okay, all right. Course, we all know that first line, or the first two lines, "Live thyself, Lord Jesus, through me, for my very life art thou." This is a very touching song. Of course, there's a dagger next to the number, meaning that this is written by us,
Esto fue escrito por nosotros.
in the Lord's recovery. Is it by Brother Nee, Watchman Nee? Probably, but I really have to do some research to make sure it is, but likely. Brother Lee, Witness Lee songs are those with an asterisk, all right? So this is, it could be Brother Nee. And Brother Nee's hymns are different from Brother Lee's in that they usually are very more sentimental, if I can, I mean that in a positive way. And in a sense, deeper. On this, in the on the side of experience, I don't mean Brother Lee's songs are not deep, but in terms of the conveyance of the sentiment of certain spiritual experiences, it's quite unique. And here, it is what I want to stress. The reason I want us to sing this hymn, and I certainly encourage you to do so on your own when you're with the Lord, is a, I would call this a dealing song. And again, don't be afraid of the word dealing. Dealing means transacting. You know, I'm making a deal with someone. I'm transacting with someone. There are certain conditions stipulated. There's certain expectation. There's certain agreements. It's a contract. And our dealings with the Lord should be like this, you know, starting with Abram, the first called one, the first Hebrew, his entering into the fellowship with Jehovah. You can see there's a lot of conversations and dealings. Eventually, he was called probably the only one that is called a friend of God, a friend of God. So with your friend, with your intimate friend or associate, there are a lot of dealings, a lot of conversation, a lot of consideration of things together. And so, dear saints, learn in your personal fellowship with the Lord not to be quick, not to be superficial, not to just touch and go. There is no replacement for time. With any human relationship, you want to cultivate a relationship with me, you have to spend a lot of time with me. We want to cultivate a relationship with God. There's no way around time. And when I say time, I mean quality time. Not just the length of time, but quality time. I'm concerned that many of us saints do not know the taste of such quality time with the Lord. Because once you acquire that taste, you will also always want that. There is, you become addicted to it. You become familiar with it. The taste is so good that you always are in need of it for your going on. If you don't have this, you don't care for it. You know, whether you touch the Lord, you don't, or if you touch the Lord in more depth or not, it's not a big deal for you. That means you are still in the kind of an outsider. And that's why you need to come forward. You need to go to the next stage. This is Song of Songs. Yes, she enjoyed Christ. The beloved. She's even have some level of transformation. She got into the church life. All this is in the first chapters, the first stage. And so she was probably saying, "Hallelujah, this is wonderful." Little did she know, that's just stage one. That's just an initial stage. The beloved wants him to experience him more, to be with him more, to go further, to go deeper. There's the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of Christ. And his knowledge surpassing love. You hardly have begun the journey, but you're so easily satisfied. So the Lord sort of hid and disappeared. So she said, "Where is he?" Well, the Lord didn't leave her, but the Lord wants her to advance. The Lord wants her to experience deeper things. And so I am here somewhat making a call to the saints in the recovery. This, especially us who have been given so much of these riches of Christ, how can we be shallow people? How can we be just easily satisfied and contented people? Dear saints, we should be the seekers of the among seekers. We should be the most seeking ones on the earth, knowing what we know. And so after this, I have in front of me a document with two pages of three sets of scriptures. Sets of scriptures, that mean many scriptures in three sets. And the first set of scriptures, Old and New Testament, is on this matter of desire. It all have to start with desire. If we want to be those who seek the Lord, to gain the Lord, to obtain the Lord and know the Lord, to grow in the Lord, to be more one with the Lord and more mingled and blended with the Lord, well, it's a matter of boils down to a matter of how much we seek that. Yes, it is the Lord's desire, the same desire that we would gain Him, this all-inclusive land. But how much do we seek for that? How much are we desirous of that? You can use another word or two words for desire. That's hunger and thirst. I like to ask, you don't have to answer me, how hungry are you right now for God? Are you like the psalmist who said, as the heart pants after the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God? Are you like them who said, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God? When will I come and appear before God? And those who said, O God, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints in longing for you in a dry and weary land without water. Or someone who said, whom do I have in heaven but you? And besides you, there's nothing I desire on earth. Besides you, there's nothing, nothing that I desire on earth. Can we say this? And for those of us who are older, is our desire just as intense, just as desperate and strong as many years ago? Oh, dear saints, dear saints, it depends how thirsty you are. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they will be satisfied. And that satisfaction is not just contentment. There's something within you that is like insatiable hunger. You know, the Lord satisfies our hunger for sure. But that something within us is just, should be just insatiable. Yes, I'm satisfied, but I'm still not satisfied. That's Paul. I have a measure of Christ, but I have not fully gained him. I'm not done yet. I'm still stretching forward. A constant sense of satisfaction and a constant feeling of dissatisfaction. That's normal. That's proper. It's our satisfaction that supplies us and encourages us. But it's our dissatisfaction that motivates us to go after even more. I hope we will say, Lord, this new year as a new phase, Lord, intensify my thirst and hunger for you. Lord, Lord, fill me with dissatisfaction and discontentment when it comes to a further obtainment and gain of yourself. How about this? How about this? You know, the problem of all spiritual sickness is it can be revealed in different ways. But one way of knowing that you are spiritually not well is you are not dissatisfied. You're not hungry. You're not thirsty. Or that hunger is not so strong. You lost your appetite. You know when you get sick, the first thing to go is appetite. You don't feel like eating. You're sick. A person who is well, who is strong, who is robust, is always hungry. You know? And that should be the case. I'm going to send to you, the brothers, this set of verses so they can be passed on for you to use, to muse upon, to spend as you are with the Lord. The second set, the first set is desire, desire. The second is seek, is the word seek, all right? Based on your desire and the level of your desire, so your seeking be. Paul sought because he was filled with desire. Deuteronomy 4, it says, and from there you will seek Jehovah your God, and you will find him if you search for him with all your heart and with all your soul. There are three words here. Number one, seek. Number two, search. Number three, find. Of course, the Lord Jesus promised, seek and you will find. That's a promise. But finders are those who are first seekers. If you don't seek, you will never find. And here in the Old Testament, Jehovah wants this from his people. We often say, you know, we should love our God, you know, quote that verse. And indeed, this is a key main verse, you know, the law in one word, right? To love the Lord our God with all of our soul, our heart, and strength, our mind, and so on. But here in Deuteronomy, where that verse is also used, the emphasis here is seek. You say, I love the Lord Jesus, but you don't seek. I put a question mark on that love. If you love, You run, you seek. You're desperate. So seek. Number two, search. My goodness, this is not just seeking, this is searching. You know, I'm digressing just a little bit, but this is very edifying. You know, even God wants all his created man, the created man, to find him. God wants to be known by them. All right? And so, Acts 17, you know, Acts 17, Paul was in Athens, you know, he saw these idols and the unknown God, and he preached the gospel to them, right? To the Athenians. And somewhere he say, God had reserved the boundary and the times and seasons and so on of the nations that they may seek God. This is to the unbelievers, the Greeks. God wants men to seek him. God wants man to know him. But the first thing he does is to put within man a seeking heart. That's God's greatest gift. To blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Brothers and sisters, do you know when you seek the Lord, you are blessed? You are just blessed to have such a heart. So there, Paul continued to say, or perhaps that they might grope for him, grope, and find him. Do you see God's heart, God's longing within him, that man would actually find him, would seek him, and then search for him, and then find him? Oh, God is so pleased and happy when someone is looking for him, even with unbelievers. You have another verse in Ecclesiastes, you know. It says, God has made everything beautiful in his own time, you know, the creation, all of that, through which we know God, as we know. Also, he said, he has put eternity in their heart. God put something called eternity in all men's heart. Yes, so that man does not find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. So positively, what God put eternity in man's heart so that man would find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I would say that's God's economy. That's God's heart's desire. That's God's eternal purpose. God wants man to know. So he put something within man to find out. But we are the believers, brothers and sisters. We should have much more thirst, much more hunger, because we know something of God, not just according to the outward creation, but according to the Spirit. You may remember in the Amplified Bible, and Brother Lee quote that in his footnote to this verse in Ecclesiastes, quote, a divinely implanted sense of purpose working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but only God can satisfy. Only God can satisfy the sense of eternity. God put eternity, I continue, an aspiration in this footnote, an aspiration for something eternal in man's heart, so that man will seek God, the eternal one. Hence, temporal things can never satisfy man. Only the eternal God, who is Christ, can satisfy the deep sense of purpose in man's heart. I'd like to say a word to the brothers millennials and younger saints. You are building your career, you're raising a family, you are making a life. These are good. These are not wrong. I like to tell you, these are temporal. These are not eternal. And these are not God. Seek God, brothers and sisters. When I first came to the church in 1969 in LA, I went to an auction and got my first little car to drive that is mine. Oh my goodness, I was 19. I was excited. I got my driver's license, this wonderful little car. I mean, it's auction, but anyway, to me, it's wonderful. So I was cleaning it, waxing it, and I was doing that in the driveway, and Brother Francis Paul, you know Francis Paul, huh? And the senior brother who's no longer here, he came by and took a look. He said, "Brother, that will not satisfy you." That's not a good word to say, you know. He was older, I was younger, and I can never forget that. At that time, my, that little car is like, ooh, wonderful. Oh, I finally got a car. Now, after having many, many cars later in my life, I can tell you that's just some metal with an engine in it, you know, with some wheels. I don't care all the whistles and bells. I don't care how much, how expensive, how luxurious they are. They will not satisfy. Younger brothers and sisters, let me tell you, money, fame, fortune, wonderful family, all this, it's not right or wrong. It's they won't satisfy you. Only God and His purpose will satisfy us eternally. Even at the end of the Bible, there's still a gospel. There's still a gospel preached by the Lord. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let him who hears say, "Come," and let him who is thirsty, thirsty, come. That is a gospel preached at the end of the Bible. Let him who wills take the water of life freely. I pray the Lord would bless us all in his recovery this year with a renew and intensify thirst for the living God, for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a seek, have this seeking within you, you're on your way. You're on the right track. You're going on. You know, sometimes when we deal with the Lord, we have to say, "Lord, where did my thirst go? Lord, I used to be so thirsty and hungry when I was in the full-time training, but where is that now?" When I first came to the recovery, I'm just like, you know, I can drink a gallon of milk. Now, where's that heart? Where is that seeking? Lord, what's wrong? Please tell me. Renew my thirst. Make me a seeker again. And in Psalms, there's a place that says, "This is the generation of those who seek Him, those who seek Your face." When we came to the recovery in the 60s, we believe we were that generation who seek His face, not even just to seek God, but to seek His face. Younger brothers and sisters, I wish you will be part of that generation that seek the face of God. Because forever in eternity in the New Jerusalem, in the new heaven and new earth, we shall see his face. All right, the third set of verses in their love is wonderful verses. The third is pursue. So desire, seek, and then pursue. Pursue is an action. It's not just an attitude. It's an action of running after, persecuting this Christ, this process, triune God, this eternal and living God. And I give you a verse in Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 15, 24. And if you pursue him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. You know, the greatest sin before God is our forsaking of him. And the greatest pleasure to God, joy to God, is our pursuit of him. Which one are you? Those who leave the fountains of life, the waters, to go after the broken cisterns, or those who would what? Be led to the fountains of life. Pursue, another New Testament word, at least Paul, is run. Well, it's also the word of the king in Song of Songs. Draw me, we will run after you. We will run after you. And I have talked about this running and stretching earlier in our first session. Now back to this hymn here a little bit. Here it says what? It is the picture of someone who is dealing with the Lord alone in his presence, all right? This should be that condition. This should be that atmosphere. If in your mind's eye, you can see it with me, all right? Verse 2. Consecrated is thy temple. Talk about repairing, sanctifying, cleansing. Consecrated is thy temple. This temple here in verse 2 in this hymn refers to us individually and together, corporately. In any event, there's almost like a situation with us, with the Lord, consecrated, purged from every stain and sin, cleansed, purged. May thy flame of glory now be manifested from within. Now, that fire that is God himself within us, the spirit and of life within us, now can shine forth and be manifested or expressed through us. And look at this. I like this. Let the earth in solemn wonder see my body willingly. That's Romans 12, right? Offered as thy slave obedient, energized alone by thee. I picture here a saint, a person who is just in the Lord's presence, passing through this exercise of being cleansed and purged and sanctified and repaired, the whole earth should be quiet. The whole earth should be silent. Even all the angels have to take note of this moment of someone like that who is consecrated, who is offered up. That's a holy place. That's a holy thing. We become that holy offering to God at that moment. And then every moment in verse 3, every member, our presentation of ourselves should not just be generally, oh, Lord, I give myself to you. You know, in Romans, it talks about our members, the members of our body, the different parts of our being. Every part is what is consecrated. Every part is yielded, surrendered, and then girded, waiting thy command. Underneath the yoke to labor or be laid aside as planned. In other words, it's all abandoned before the Lord. It's up to the Lord. Everything, my whole life, my whole future, my family, what I am, what I have, what I can do. Lord, you do what you want. I'm yours. When restricted in pursuing, you know, there's sometime God would raise a certain environment in our life. We become limited. We couldn't do that much. No disquiet will be set because we're at peace. We are a handed over person. We're not our own. All we have is an amen. Underneath thy faithful dealing, not a murmur or regret. Ever tender, quiet, restful. Do you get that feel, that atmosphere? Inclinations put away, that thou may for me choose freely as thy finger points the way. Lift thyself, Lord Jesus, through me, for my very life art thou. Thee I take to all my problems as the full solution now. These saints, I'm trying to describe a situation, a moment, the hours, the minutes of this exceedingly personal, deep and quiet and personal time with the Lord between you and him. In conversation, in transaction, in dealing, resulting us being sanctified and renewed from within for yet another stage of our pursuit, of our growth, of our church life. I hope you would do that. Now, just quickly, I have about 15 minutes. I want to cover here how Brother Lee specifically mentioned that according to 1 Corinthians 3:16, we are the temple of God. And because we're here talking about cleansing the temple, right? Sanctifying the temple. That means us. Then I found out that this matter of us being the temple is mentioned four times in the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians. Three times in the first, one time in the second. And they all have different emphasis, even though generally the temple refers to us, this particular emphasis. And this is quite revealing and helpful. First one is 1 Corinthians 3:16, quote, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Here, the word temple refers to the believers collectively in a certain locality, like Corinth, like Sacramento, like Palo Alto, whatever We're all part of a local church. And Paul here was speaking to those saints in Corinth. Don't you know you, the local church in Corinth, are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you, the dweller, the resident, the inhabitor of this temple of a local church is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is simply what? The processed and consummated living triune God himself, living in our midst, living in our church. Some church may be small, another church may be larger. It doesn't matter. The Spirit of God dwells in us and among us. And this temple needs to be repaired, cleansed, and sanctified for a new beginning. The second one is 1 Corinthians 3:17. If, quote, if anyone destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and such are you. This temple refers not just even to the local church, but to all the believers universally as the body of Christ. So no one should touch this temple or destroy or mar or ruin this temple, because God will destroy this person. And I like this line, for the temple of God is holy, for the body of Christ is holy, for the recovery of the Lord is holy. Brothers and sisters, do you realize we are holy? We're not common. We're not worldly. We are holy, as God is holy. Holy means something that is not common. The only person that have this holiness ascribed to him is God himself, because only God is different in this universe. And because it's a holy temple, God will not suffer any unholiness, any uncleanness, anything that is common. So in this spring cleaning, I call it spring cleaning, this new beginning in the year, there should be some house cleaning. Our church needs a cleansing. Even I would say the recovery needs a purifying. That should be normal, so that we can go on to a new stage with the Lord. Even the whole recovery can do that. Now the third one is still in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that chapter that talks about marriage and so on. Quote, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Now here, the word temple takes on the meaning of our body, of our human body, of our physical body. And in this body, part of the old creation, this fallen body, which is sometimes called the body of our flesh, the Holy Spirit dwells. The Holy Spirit lives within our body, in our spirit. And we are not our own. We need to deal with the Lord, even concerning things related to our body. Our living in our body, our human life. Today, in this flesh, how we live, how we handle ourselves, how we preserve ourselves, how we sanctify even our body. You know, even those members in Romans, the different parts of our body need to be sanctified, set apart unto God. So these are all reasons for us to be with the Lord, part by part of our entire being. Don't be afraid to be thorough with the Lord. God is in the details. God is a detailed God. He doesn't mind them. The last verse is in 2 Corinthians 6:16. Quote, "And what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? For we are the temple of the living God." Well, this temple, I would say, covers us, covers our church, covers the whole body of the Lord. Is the generally we the people of God as God's habitation in spirit, right? Even isn't that in Ephesians 2? We're the habitation of God. What have this temple to do with idols? We are the temple of this living God. So in this new beginning, I think God needs to go deep and purge away all forms of idols. You know, idols is not just those wood and stone and gold and silver objects. Idol is anything, person, matters that replace God as an object of our worship. Anything that replaces God in our heart is an idol. So I am actually done with my burden for today. May I just repeat myself? Just this urging within me to you all that you would not just be inspired by these things I spoke, but would be inspired to take action, and that is to seriously seek the Lord for a new season, a new year, a new start, or a renew start. The Christian race is of many stages and sections that we have to run stage by stage. So there are a lot of new beginnings normally, and many runnings and pursuits or courses. And then I would say that even there are many endings, many arrivals, but that is still not the final arrival. A new arrival simply means time for another new beginning, another cycle, another stage. The Lord be merciful to each one of us. Wherever you have attained, whatever age you're in, whatever you're before you, in your lives that God has ordained, may this year, may right now, be the beginning of a new phase in our pursuit. I stop here, brothers and sisters. Amen.